You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Our election officials failed us miserably. What happened to Arizonans on election day is unforgivable. Tens of thousands of Maricopa County voters were disenfranchised. Now, I am busy here collecting evidence and data. Rest assured, I have assembled the best and brightest legal team, and we are exploring every avenue to correct the many wrongs that have been done this past week. I'm doing everything in my power to right these wrongs.
Those are the words of Kerry Lake, the Republican who got defeated, according to the tabulation, by Hobbs for the governorship of Arizona. Hobbs was also the Secretary of State. She was asked last year, since she's also running for governor, don't you think it would be wise and prudent and transparent and remove any doubt, any question at all about the legality of the election, if you step aside and let someone else handle the Secretary of State duties, which are overseeing the election? Nope, I'll be fine. Of course, you have to understand, if she stepped aside, she probably would have put someone in anyway that would have done her bidding. Who knows? Glad to have you join us. We are today, of course, November 18, 2022. I remind you, we are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You can go to Rumble right now while we're on the air live. Enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA, one word. It'll take you right to our Rumble page. You'll see previous postings, and you'll see where you can push a button and join us live. Glad to have you do it that way. If you can't do it now, you can always pull it up later. Same thing with the audio portions of the program. Go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. We're very simple to find, easily branded, and share with others. It's not just if you're listening now, but make sure others are aware of it. We got a lot of things to cover today. Obviously, we're going to get into Kerry Lake. She is refusing to concede the election. And, of course, immediately, oh, she's an election denier. She's an election denier. They're bad, bad people, aren't they? Like Stacey Abrams, like Hillary Clinton. But they're different. They're on the left, so they are election enforcers and looking for validation. Based on the count for the Senate from Arizona, Mark Kelly won by 51.4%. This is 99% of the ballots apparently counted. They still, at last check, don't have all of them still. And then, of course, when it comes to him winning at that point, the Associated Press called his election. And when it came to the issue of Blake Masters, he got only 46.5%. That is, again, according to the numbers they're showing here. Now, a lot of folks were believing, and I was one of them, that Kerry Lake was so popular she could pull Masters over the line. But she didn't. She failed considerably, if you just look at the numbers there. But the question has to be raised again. Were all the votes properly counted? Were they counted? There were people that were standing in line waiting for hours and then finally told the machines aren't working. One out of every five machines is working. You have to go somewhere else. I don't know what the real story is. Neither do you, and neither does Kerry Lake. But at this time, she's raising questions and they want to take a look at it. I do see that the Arizona Republicans have withdrawn a lawsuit to force a hand count, but I still don't know that that's all done, because she is still insisting we will have a legal fight over the Arizona election. Her being the governor is not the big issue. Blake Masters getting into the Senate would be the prime issue. We're going to get into all that in more detail. We also are having a Congressman Chip Roy of Texas saying, all of you who want to come here You want to serve? Are you here to serve, or you just want to be appointed to some committee so you can say, hey, I'm head of this committee. Look at me. He calls them out for those who want to do that. And also a story that kind of got buried in the process over the last few days, the Washington Post presenting a report that clears President Donald Trump's name and reputation regarding that he was conducting business activities with classified documents which he took from the White House. It cleared him. It just kind of poof, went right by us, didn't it? State-controlled media just ignored it entirely. We're catching up on that for you. And John Daniel Davidson, senior editor of Federalist, says conservatives can no longer run and hide. They have to take a stand, and we do. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Okay, just...
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with a Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies. One leads to another on a Saturday night. Don't you cross your heart unless you hold the dime. Drinking dog whiskey.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
To get elected, to get power, to get on a certain committee, do you know what every conversation that has been had in this body, at least on my side of the aisle, since last Tuesday? Hey, what's going on in the steering committee? Hey, who's going to get Ways and Means? Hey, who's going to get on what committee? Hey, did the freshmen have their votes? Who's going to be the head of the freshman class? Hey, who's going to be the speaker? Who's going to be the whip? I don't know. Let's figure out what we're going to do. Who's going to have power? Who's going to have power? Who's going to have power? And the answer is anybody but the American people. The answer is anybody but the rank and file members of this body. The answer is the status quo.
The status quo. That is Texas Congressman Chip Roy on the floor speaking about, are we really here to do the job of the American people? Or are we here to embellish ourselves, to exaggerate our importance? And we know many members of the legislature that may go there with the purest and the cleanest thoughts of what they're going to do, and it doesn't take long to be stained. We're just going to have a cup of coffee with Mitch McConnell. We're going to have a cup of coffee with, at that time, Nancy Pelosi. Just a little get to know each other. But you walk out with a debt on your back. And it's the same thing when it comes to becoming a chair of a particular committee. Now, these are highly prized possessions. Don't get me wrong. And they generally go to ranking members first, but then they decide who's going to serve with them on that committee. There are good and bad committees. There are good and bad leaderships. There are good and bad in every level of government you can find. There are those who really want to do well and those who just really could give a rip. They got elected. That's all they wanted to do. Now, if you're a Congress member, this is such a difficult situation because no sooner do you take the oath of office, or in fact, prior to that, no sooner do you win, as maybe you did here November 8th, you got to start campaigning again because every 2 years they had to go back and get reelected. The Constitution set it up that way because they want this body of legislators directly responsible and often accountable to the American people. Senators get 6 years. They're therefore considered a more esteemed body, a more deliberate body. They don't rant and rail like some Democrats might do. That's the thought process anyway. And that they are going to do everything they can to truly advance the country. And they're in there long enough that they can. But they also, the day after winning election, are already, what do we do to keep this thing going? But they have a little more time. They can work it. They can work a little slower. You know, like, I'll relate it to what I often do. And since it's one of my pastimes, and maybe for you too, I'll relate it to poker. I can sit there and play, especially in a poker tournament. You can sit there and play hand after hand after hand, and you just have to ditch your cards. Your cards aren't that good. Or maybe they're pretty good, and you're willing to make a bet, but somebody in front of you made a bet, and somebody behind them made a bigger bet, and now you're going to do a three bet, or you're just going to say, that this, I'd take a real chance. This 3-5 I'm holding in my hand, offsuit, means no spades, hearts together, whatever you want to call your suit, it's not going to stand a chance. So you throw it away. And, of course, once the betting finishes and they get to what they call the flop, the three cards hit the deck, there you have 3-3-3. Oh, you would hit it. Quad threes. You would win. But you're not going to put your money in on a hand that is so dismal to begin with unless you're doing it first and then hoping you're going to bluff your way and push other people out. But after one bet and another one coming over the top of them, you got to believe they've got better hands. They probably had a big ace or king or pocket jacks. Who knows? But you folded the winning hand because you're trying to be prudent in what you do. Senators are that way in the sense that I don't have to make every rash decision today. I've got time to work it through. We can be more deliberate. Members of Congress, got to get on. We got to do something now. And the best way to do that is get on a committee. Who's going to get on this committee? Who's going to head it up? Can I be? I want to be on the committee. How do I get ahead of someone else? That's exactly what Chip Roy of Texas is talking about and complaining about, to the extent that when members of Congress are sworn in and they take their seats, they are immediately jockeying for positions. They're doing it even before they come in. And those incumbents returning, they have a leg up. And in some cases, that seniority pays off, particularly if your party now controls that branch, which we're glad to say Republicans now control that branch of government, which is the true check and balance system the way it was established by our Constitution. You have your legislative branch, you have your executive branch, which would be the White House, and of course you have your judicial branch, the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is not supposed to make law, which is often forgotten by many on the left. Now, some of them are saying, well, they made law. They canceled the constitutional protection of abortion. There never was a constitutional protection for abortion. The word does not even appear in the Constitution. They just shoved it through. And when it comes to money and everything, well, that's where the House comes into play. The Senate can come up with all kinds of ideas, but if they're going to need money, if they're going to need some funding for it, they're going to have the House in play because, as we'll talk about in a moment, that's where the purse strings are. But let's go back for a moment first to Chip Roy. He's calling out, and he also made a point of saying that I think it's important to know the extent to which this administration, the Biden administration, has weaponized the federal government against the American people. He said, it ain't enough, and those are his words, it ain't enough to have some hearings and call some people in and yell at them. The American people need to see a lot of things they have not been seeing, but then you need to connect that with the actions of this government. And he said, I got so many examples of weaponization of government make me want to burn the place down. Oh, my God, he uttered those words. You know, for some, they're saying, that's insightful. Maybe we ought to have a special committee on Chip Roy. We'll add it to the January 6th committee. Why not? Roll it all together. Well, Nancy Pelosi no longer has the gavel. She's out. She is out. Now, she holds it to the end of the session, so she has some power to pound on the table occasionally, but it's getting weaker and weaker. But Chip Roy, in talking about this battle to serve inside members of Congress, inside Congress, he said the problem is too many do come here and they forget their real purpose, and therein lies a big issue.
Who's going to have power? Who's going to have power? Who's going to have power? And the answer is anybody but the American people. The answer is anybody but the rank-and-file members of this body. The answer is the status quo. That's why people ran. That's why President Trump, by the way, did well in 2016 running against the swamp. Say what you want about President Trump. He represented a large block of this country that were sick and tired of this town, of this place, of this body, of the people in this room. And it's high time we do something about it. Stop kissing each other's rear ends, asking and begging for some slot on a committee. We didn't come here to be on committees. We didn't come here to get a title. The titles around this place. Who is in leadership? Leadership. Isn't leadership something you recognize and follow? It's not something you elect?
Perfect point. Leaders don't have to be elected. Folks just follow them. Now, there may be, quote, an election to confirm it, but if you're a leader, you've got folks that are willing to follow you. Battlefield promotions are an example of something like that. You're not the captain, you're not even the lieutenant. You're not even the staff sergeant. You're the buck sergeant, and suddenly everyone is wiped out except you, and all these younger troops are looking at you, and you are basically under a battlefield promotion. You are the leader. They will follow you. And if you drop, maybe the corporal behind you will step up. We're already seeing members of this Congress call out, say, we're going to start demanding some things. For instance, Congressman Thomas Massie, Republican of Kentucky, is already slamming the Biden administration's $38 billion additional aid for Ukraine. He said that would bring the total spent on Ukraine in 2022 to twice as much spent on roads and bridges in the United States. I think generally the American people are willing to support Ukraine. Of course, we begin to question more and more, where the hell is the money going? Which brings us to the FBI investigation of Donald Trump. And this story, again, from the Washington Post the other day, just kind of got shoved aside. So many things on the front page and with the election and everything this week. But they were pointing out that reports for months prior to Election Day claimed that Trump might have been conducting nefarious business activities with classified documents he took with him from the White House, and that formed the FBI's unprecedented raid on Mar-a-Lago, remember? Well, this week, the Post reported federal investigators, and I'm quoting, believe former President Donald Trump's motive for allegedly taking and keeping classified documents were largely his ego and a desire to hold on some of the materials as trophies or mementos. As part of the investigation, federal authorities reviewed the classified documents that were recovered from his home and private club, looking to see if any of the types of the information contained in them pointed to any kind of pattern or similarities, And according to those who spoke of the condition of anonymity, according to the Washington Post, they found no evidence of any apparent business advantage to the types of classified information in Trump's possession. In other words, he wasn't using and cutting business deals because he had nuclear codes in his pocket. But that was a story all the time at Mar-a-Lago. And again, it was a way, how else can we slam this guy? At the same time, they continue to ignore what is right in front of their face, has been since the Hunter laptop from hell surfaced, and Congressman Comer pointed that out yesterday. I want you to hear it again.
Whistleblowers describe President Biden as chairman of the board for these businesses. He personally participated in meetings and phone calls. Documents show that he was a partner with access to an office. To be clear, Joe Biden is the big dog. This evidence raises troubling questions about whether President Biden is a national security risk and about whether he is compromised by foreign government. The investigation reveals a family that engaged with some of America's most powerful adversaries, planning to sell one of the largest sources of cobalt for electric vehicles in the world to the Chinese, for example. The Bidens flourished and became millionaires by simply offering access to the family. Among the dozens of shell companies the Bidens set up, there were millions of dollars of wire transfers, flights on Air Force Two to conduct personal business, and meetings with heads of state, all while Joe Biden was aware of what was happening. All the while, he turned a blind eye.
He turned a blind eye, and they're all turning a blind eye to the Daily News that says Trump did nothing wrong with any, quote, documents he took. When we continue, I want you to hear from Jim Jordan about saying we're going to get to the bottom of this in this administration now that we have control of the House. And again, the use of the power of the purse, how invaluable that is for Democrats and for Republicans, actually. Stand by.
Larry Connors, USA.
We're committed to getting to the truth, the facts. We think that's what the American people are entitled to. We're gonna try to help Representative Comer and the team here at Oversight with our work on judiciary, but with a specific focus on what the FBI was doing. We know these 51 former intel officials, they got security clearance. How often are they talking to the FBI? Are they talking to the FBI? Who's doing the talking? Who's doing the briefing? Were they briefed? There's so many questions that need answered so we can get to the bottom of this. And the final thing I would say is this. A colleague of mine said this in a committee hearing a few weeks ago, Mr. Gates. He said, when is the FBI going to quit interfering with elections? 2016, they spied on President Trump's campaign. 2018, it was the Mueller investigation. 2020, they suppressed information about the Hunter Biden story. 2022, they raided the president's home 91 days before an election. Maybe it'd be nice if the FBI, the Justice Department, just stayed out of it and let we, the people, decide who we think should represent us, who we think should lead us. That's supposed to be how America works. So this is the focus on the Judiciary Committee, the political nature of the Justice Department, and the linkage now to what was happening with the Hunter Biden story, again, just 15 days before we have a presidential election.
And we're going to get answers. That is Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, saying we are going to continue to hold these hearings. He's on the oversight, he's on the Judicial Committee, and Congressman Comer on the Oversight Committee. They want answers. And when is the FBI going to quit interfering? And as he pointed out, the Mar-a-Lago raid on the Trump house in Mar-a-Lago, and I told you earlier, it kind of got buried, but it got reported earlier this week by the Post, the Washington Post. And remember, the agency claimed they removed 33 boxes of information and documents. But in the final ruling, they also said, no, nothing here nefarious. He didn't do anything wrong. What do you bet they knew that before they went in? But it was just, what else can we do to smear Trump and anybody supporting him? Well, to that extent, let me share this with you. The U.S. Justice Department has declared in a court filing that the Saudi Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, should receive immunity from any lawsuit filed by the fiancé of that Washington Post columnist, Jamal Khashoggi. Now, the Crown Prince has admitted that I take responsibility as leader of Saudi Arabia, but denied I have anything to do with the killing. It was a mistake. And guess who's heading up the Department of Justice? You're right, Merrick Garland. Who put him in position? You're right, Joe Biden. So we're just going to overlook that one too, aren't we? Then we got to look at what we're going to be able to control when they keep trying to push through more money, more money, more money, more giveaways. There is where, again, we hear from Kevin McCarthy, now the Speaker of the House, or will be as soon as Pelosi is out. He said, we are going to use the power of the purse strings.
The size of our debt has got to stop. But we've got to actually focus on what we did listening to the American public. You've got to make an economy that's strong. They're hurting because of inflation. We've got to cut back on this wasteful Washington spending. We've got to make ourselves energy independent. And not just energy independent, let's help our allies. Let's make China dependent on our natural gas. Let's secure our border so our children are no longer being killed by fentanyl every single day. Let's make sure we stop defunding the police and start funding them. Let's make sure parents have a parent's bill of rights, a say in their kids' education. Let's make sure government is held accountable.
Perfect point. Hold government accountable. I was reading earlier for you from Congressman Massey of Kentucky saying, more money for Ukraine? We don't even know where it's going. He said, we need a special inspector general appointed to detail where all that money goes. And I agree. And the House is going to demand it. Ukraine, I'm sure over there, they said, oh my God, we're not going to get as much money as we should have. Coming up, you know, on a daily basis, you have to deal with the woke crowd and culture one way or the other. And you're particularly concerned when it comes to your kids. And they're raising their head again because of a Christmas parade, which suddenly they decide, you know what? We're going to ruin that for you also. Stand by, please.
Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
My next guest we've had on numerous times before is a senior editor for the Federalist, and he's talking about a town that some of you may not be familiar with, Taylor, Texas. And being from Texas, I am familiar. It's something like 40, 50 miles from Austin, Texas. And the point here being that a lot of folks are rushing into Texas and California and elsewhere from these blue states to get away from woke culture, but that ain't apparently going to work that well. My guest, John Daniel Davidson, senior editor at The Federalist. Welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, I love the title of your article, Conservatives Can Run and Hide from the Left. They cannot do it anymore, you say. They have to stand and fight. The Taylor, Texas situation is a clear example.
That's right. And what happened in Taylor is really just a stand-in for what is happening to small towns in red areas of the country everywhere. And that is that the left is infiltrating and taking over the institutions of civic life at the local level. Talking about City Hall, public library, public schools. And conservatives need to be aware of that and understand that they cannot just move to a red area and think that everything is going to be okay. They've got to fight at the local level to keep leftist ideology out of their communities.
This involves a Christmas parade, which had always been kind of an innocuous gathering of folks, in basically recognizing Christmas. Santa Claus, of course, always bringing up the rear end for the kids' delight. And now it's suddenly become a political gambit.
Yeah, what happened was that for decades, the Taylor town of Taylor has had a Christmas parade, not a holiday parade, a Christmas parade.
Yeah, oh, by the way, I'm glad you stress that. They call it a Christmas parade. They flat out say Christmas parade. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's the Taylor Christmas Parade of Lights. And for many years, it's been organized by a coalition of local churches. And last year, for the first time, through an oversight, because the you know, little old ladies who volunteered didn't realize what Taylor Pride was, a gay advocacy group got approved for a float on the parade. And what they ended up with, which none of the parade organizers and none of the attendees or the families that were there realized until it was too late, is that Taylor Pride had put a float into the parade of two men dressed in drag. One of them is a female Santa and the other in a scantily clad glitter outfit, suggestively dancing and gyrating to music as their float went down Main Street, right in front of a float for the local Catholic school with a bunch of Catholic school kids on it that had to, you know, watch this the entire time.
It'd be funny except for the fact that it's a slap in their face and they thought, Pride in Taylor, Texas? Yeah, we're all about that, but that's not the pride that was in mind.
Exactly. So, you know, what this coalition of churches that organizes the parade did this year was clarify that none of the floats could express, a message that was contrary to biblical Christian teaching. It didn't mean that every float had to be biblically themed. It just meant that you couldn't have, you know, a drag queen float, for example. And the reaction from the city of Taylor, the city hall, city councilors, was to immediately announce that the city was going to host its own holiday parade immediately following the Christmas parade on the same route, on the same night, to placate the gay lobby and the gay activists who are pushing for this drag queen float and these sort of inappropriate displays. So that's what's happening in this very red conservative town.
You're listening to John Daniel Davidson with The Federalist. And, of course, I've pointed out previously that my hometown, Austin, has gone too deep blue. It never should have. They kept bringing in more and more professors from the east for University of Texas until pretty soon they basically have built a bastion. A lot of folks in California and Texas say, I mean, in Florida and Texas say, we want you, come on, you're in blue, you want to get out, come down here. Just don't bring that kind of ideology and your taxes with you. And yet here they are.
That's right. And, you know, that's the point that I was trying to make with the piece. You can't hide. You know, Taylor is in Texas's 31st congressional district. They just reelected a Republican congressman for an 11th term. The guy ran unopposed. This district has never been represented by a Democrat, ever. The county elected officials are all Republicans. And this is happening in this small town that's, you know, a bunch of families and churches. And so if it can happen in Taylor, Texas, it can happen where you live. And what Christians and conservatives need to understand is that they cannot be complacent. The left is coming for the libraries, for the parades, for City Hall, for the schools. And unless conservatives get involved at the very local level, putting their own people on city council, putting their own people in the library, then their kids are going to be subjected to this stuff.
You know, I know some other towns in Texas that are similar, and they call them Christmas parades, but they also have floats and features because the Christianity came out of the Old Testament as well. So Jews are welcome. Other religions are welcome. But these aren't other religions. These are cults. These are folks who want to put it in your face that they think your child, a third grade level, might be transposed into a transgender and be willing to cut their breast or be castrated.
That's right. That's right. And it's aggressive. And the reaction of the city in this case was aggressive to say, well, if you don't include this gay group and these drag queens in your Christmas parade, we're going to basically take over your Christmas parade on the same night, right behind you, on the same route, city-sponsored, taxpayer-sponsored, and we're going to force it on you. That's how aggressive the left is. And conservatives had better learn to be aggressive back and fight back in the same way the left fights back, using the same tactics. Otherwise, in a place like Taylor, there's only going to be one parade next Christmas.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the traditional Christmas parade. It's going to be the drag queen parade.
Yeah, and you won't be able to say Merry Christmas again. I mean, and down in the South and other places, they're very quick to say Merry Christmas. They don't just say Happy Holidays. If I have Jewish friends, I wish them Happy Hanukkah. But, I mean, otherwise, you know, Merry Christmas, that's what it's all about. I mean, to the Christian community, it is the high holy day next to Easter.
That's right. That's right. And you know, it may seem like a petty thing or a small thing, and, you know, say, oh, there's a war on Christmas. There's not a war on Christmas. There's a war on Christianity.
Yes.
And it's being played out in little ways, in little towns, all over the country. And it's time for people to wake up. You wake up and you fight them, or you surrender. Those are the two options.
I could not believe when I read in your article, and I'm glad you restated a moment ago, that they said, okay, you go ahead and have your little parade, and then we're going to have our parade along the same route right behind you the same night.
Yes, because they want to subject families to men dressed in drag dancing suggestively.
Where did we reach the point that that's acceptable to put in front of kids? You want to be an adult and you want to go do it, that's fine. But when you're shoving it in the face of kids, when did we decide that's acceptable?
Yeah, well, things are moving very quickly. The left has seen that their aggressive tactics have paid off. The success of the gay marriage movement segued very quickly, almost seamlessly, into a transgender rights movement. They're one and the same. And so they are moving from victory to victory and achieving success in corporate America, in Hollywood, on online social media, big tech firms. Everyone has embraced, it seems, this ideology. So why would they stop? Of course they feel like they can bully churches and that they can bully families in small towns.
If you speak out, they're going to come after you.
That's right. And so, look, this is Texas. And, you know, we say come and take it, and it's time to put our money where our mouth is.
I love it. Yeah, your closing line here. You're going to have to fight the left and win or surrender to them. There is nowhere left to hide. John Daniel Davidson, thank you. I would have only one other thing, and I'd say, okay, let them have their holiday parade behind the Christmas parade, but at the end of the Christmas parade, let's have a herd of elephants and everything they leave behind them.
That's right. Or, you know, it's Texas, so maybe some longhorn steers.
Absolutely. Bring some longhorn steers in. That leaves quite a mess as well. John, thank you as always. We appreciate your time, sir. If I don't get a chance to talk to you before Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Hey, same to you, Larry. Thanks.
Thank you very much. John Daniel Davidson. I love it. Love it. And we're going to talk later in the next segment again about how this stuff is being pushed on. You think maybe just in America? No, it's happening everywhere. And members of other communities, other nations are standing up saying enough is enough. But when we continue, are you aware of the gun sales increasing rapidly in the state of Oregon? Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
We'll
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So I don't know if you saw the video, and I didn't have time for the story the other day because the network news was covering it. But the other day in California, a driver going the wrong way on the street ran his SUV into a group of police recruits and staff. They were obviously in uniforms as recruits. They also had several members of police officers around them that were dressed in bright yellow. They also had some police vehicles nearby. And the guy simply just ran right into them. And after all the investigations, there were 75 recruits, by the way, for the Sheriff's Academy office that were running at that time along that area when they were hit. Some of the runners were wearing reflective vests. It happened so quickly, one of them said, people that saw it just jumped out of the way, but people behind them didn't have a chance to see it because suddenly the cars on top of them, bodies scattered everywhere. The driver supposedly had a blood alcohol content of 0. A field sobriety test was negative for obvious impairment. Regarding any drugs in the system, not immediately available. Several of the recruits suffered injuries, broken bones, head trauma, loss of a limb in one case. And after all of that happening at 6:30 that morning, by 10 p.m. that evening, the same evening, they set him free. They had been considering, and I don't know if they actually did file it or not. This is all in Whittier, California. They were going to charge him with attempted murder after slamming into all these recruits. And they say due to the complexity, which includes ongoing interviews, video, and so forth, homicide investigators did release the guy from the Sheriff's Department custody at this point. The charge of attempted murder of a police officer would require evidence that the crime was intentional rather than mistaken or distracted or otherwise did not mean for that to happen. So in other words, maybe he wasn't drunk, wasn't impaired by drugs, just stupidly driving the wrong way on a one-way street and pays no attention to all these people running in front of him and just runs into them? Really? We'll see what happens with the case. Taking note of this, gun sales in the state of Oregon have more than doubled, and the reason being that ballot measure 114 is pending. It did pass. It will take effect after or on December 8th. The BM-114 was apparently bankrolled by a lot of out-of-state money. It would have required a permit, which would cost you $65 just to purchase a gun. It also would ban high-capacity magazines, require law enforcement maintain a database of gun permit applicants and other things, and that would include submitting fingerprints and passing a gun safety course. Some of those things I don't have an issue with. Gun safety course, by all means. If you're going to get a weapon, you should know how to properly handle it. But since it did pass, in the week of October 30th, Oregon State Police received something like 8,600 requests for gun background checks on prospective buyers. And the next week after the elections, 18,000. So the state police are falling behind in completing these background checks. So far, only 63% of them have been approved. When I want them, I don't want a felon buying a weapon, period. I saw an ad the other day from some political candidate in the midst of the midterm elections pointing out, and she's against illegal guns. Put me down for that, too. I'm against illegal guns. Of course, what do you mean by illegal? Now, when you tell me illegal, I'm thinking of guns that, one, you're not allowed to have an automatic weapon, and two, if the serial number is scraped off of it to hide it, that's an illegal weapon. If it's in the hands of a convicted felon who's not supposed to have access to firearms, that's an illegal weapon. But just to say, I'm against illegal weapons, well, I'd kind of say, yeah, me too, but then what exactly do you mean? We are going to spend some time in the next hour talking about what's happening and has happened in Maricopa County, Arizona. I have a piece of video that's on Larry Connors USA right now, Larry Connors USA Facebook, and also my personal page. The video I attribute to the source that I got it from came from the Gateway Pundit, and I think they got it from still another source. So I always like to give credit where it's due. But it's showing somebody dropping what appear to be a handful of at least 10 to 12 green envelopes, which apparently contain voting ballots, in other words, dropping them in a mailbox. In other words, ballot stuffing. This is a problem with the mail-in. And people go out and collect it and get people to sign it, or they just make them up, fill them out, send them, and drop them in. And so Kerry Lake is saying this election was not properly overseen, not properly monitored. You had drop boxes everywhere. We don't know who dropped what, when, and how many, and if they're legitimate. It's worthy of asking. Oh, but that'd be an election denier, wouldn't it? Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.